As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Hold That Podcast podcast. I am Chris Branch, your host, along with Brody Miller, my co-host. We are both at The Athletic. Brody, how are you today?
I am doing all right. You know, but obviously it's been a dark week in the LSU sports world, so it's hard to be like cheery. But yeah, man, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I think the real victim here is you, because before we started recording, you were telling me how you had this whole Saturday planned. And then as journalists, especially in the sports world, your entire day was derailed by large breaking news, which, if you were under a rock, LSU coach Will Wade was fired a week before the NCAA tournament started, which is, I can't imagine a worse timing, but it is in relation to the notice of allegations that LSU received last week about major violations within the basketball program and the football program. And we don't know what sanctions are coming, but LSU, which adjusted Will Wade's contract a couple of years ago to give them an out if they had major violations, went ahead and fired Will Wade with cause. They don't owe him any money left on his contract. And now LSU basketball is in the weirdest spot that I can imagine. Did I sum that up right, Brody?
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, this is it's such a weird story, right? Because one, the way Louisiana perceives the story is so incredibly different than the way the rest of the country does, right? Because I think the rest of the country has been in literally like, why in the world is Will Wade still employed for 3 years? I think that's been like the consensus. It's just like, wait, this is mind-boggling. How is he still, you know, have a job when this is all so apparent? And in Louisiana, it's like, wait, why'd they fire him after all? You know, am I wrong in that?
Yeah, no, it's like we're running from the cops for this long. Why pull the plug now?
Yes,
like,
exactly. And I mean, it's a pretty jarring thing. And I guess I'll start just there, right? You know, and this is not even, you didn't even ask me this, but just like to talk to our listeners. I think there's a lot of people that really don't understand that part. And I'd say I'd lead with the one thing. LSU wanted to stand by Will Wade. That is, I think ignoring that part is a little naive. Like LSU, like Scott Woodward's been pretty savvy for about the 3 years he's been here. He became shortly after the Wade fiasco started. And he has been very savvy never to really like go out of his way to back him, but also by no means ever say anything, you know, to discourage him. And you know, I think that for the most part, everyone I've always talked to the administration kind of was like, they think they can beat this. You know, there was always that feeling a little bit. They're like, they're like, I don't know if NCAA actually has evidence, things like that. That was a very consistent feeling I got. And I think there really was optimism they could get through this. And which, you know, I think, you know, some others have reported. It makes it a little shocking because they've been in these interviews the past year. They have representatives there. They should have known what the NCAA had. But, I mean, I think Billy Embody at On3 reported even that, like, as recently as this week, they were still having contract talks, extension talks. So, again, that paints the picture. They were not, like, just waiting to fire Will Wade. But at the same time, this is the thing that I don't want to give him too much credit, but I usually give Scott Woodward credit for, is he is pretty savvy with how to play these things, right? He backed Will Wade, but also knew, you know, had his ducks in a row. So the second this came down, one, I think it was just so much worse than they expected in terms of the severity, right? Not even the content, but the severity of 7 level 1 violations against basketball, 5 of them directly involving Wade, which, you know, talking to some people, that is about as bad as like one head coach has directly been involved in one in an NOA in recent memory. Like, you know, a lot of other programs maybe have gotten more specific, like allegations, but a head coach having 5 direct ones is pretty crazy, and numerous others above that. And I think when it got to that point, 2 things. One, I think they realized, man, you're not getting out of this. And 2, then it became an element of you have to do what you can to now preserve things as much as possible. So I think LSU is very concerned about how the football program might get hit if they don't, you know, handle this right. And I think there's an element of, and again, I don't want to like say this literally, so don't like quote me on this, but a slight element of sacrificing basketball to save football. That is something that has kind of been said to me through multiple people throughout this of, you know, okay. And people have also reminded me this is not a court of law. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is not a real, you know, this is the NCAA can make whatever decision they want. Does that make sense? So
total sense.
Building goodwill, which, by the way, I don't think LSU's built any goodwill these 3 years. They have fought this as much as possible. So this might be naive on their part. But building goodwill, firing Wade, trying to do the right things. And I think that was very much as they can, like, take it as easy as you can on us. And they're prepared for basketball to get hit really hard. We can get into that in a few minutes. But the answer to why, I think, is, 1, it's worse than they expected. 2, doing anything they can to build good faith and show gesture of cooperation. And then 3, of course, is the obvious thing of, and again, I'm not saying they've been waiting just for this, because like I said, I think they wanted to keep him, but they have the Joe Oliva, like you said, renegotiated contract that allows them to. So people saying like, man, they've known in 19, why didn't they do it then? Even if they wanted to do it in 19, that would have been very messy. As much as people are like, we knew, like, firing for cause is messy. Look at Tennessee football's mm-hmm. legal battle they're in right now. Look at the same reason Ed Orgeron and LSU ended up agreeing on a contract, you know, ending, because it was like firing for cause is messy and it does not work if things aren't ironed out beyond belief. So I think it made a lot of sense. Not again, I'm not giving them like credit. They waited 3 years just for this, but to wait and then when it happened, they could just cut ties and not owe them a cent. And it's kind of a win-win because, you know, Will Wade still got $7 million out of those last 3 years that he could have been fired. So took that a lot of places, but that's kind of the answer to the why.
Yeah, it happened very cleanly. And the thing that has struck me a few days later is that the things that he is in trouble for, like, correct me if I'm wrong, would not really be a thing right now. Like, I was in Baton Rouge this weekend watching the basketball game. I went to walk-ons with some friends. And I saw a really cringy but hilarious commercial with Tari Eason and a local lawyer. And, you know, I assume Tari's making good money on that or whatever. And it's just like, it was such a different world without NIL like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where this entire thing is trying to get, you know, basically allegedly paying players to come to LSU. And then allegedly paying off players, recruits, fiancés to be quiet about payments and doing that in a messy way.
Doing it from your wife's joint bank account too.
Like that. Yeah. That's just all that stuff would be so unnecessary if we started today.
Yeah.
Like, I assume somebody like Will Wade, who is, you know, the thing, and I'm going to say like, I really appreciated Will Wade. And I feel like I've seen a lot from former players and even high school coaches in the area that, He was a great face for the program, like relationship-wise with people, with former players, with coaches. He was a huge cheerleader. He was clearly very passionate about coaching at LSU. And like somebody like that today who was helping run an NIL operation and really like, you know, making sure that the mechanisms were in place to give players the opportunities to earn the money that they want to earn, I think Will would probably be pretty damn good at that. And that just...
Yeah.
And so that wasn't in place when he was making these alleged violations. And it's so weird that all of this is coming to head right now in this different world. It's like we time traveled, but yet the old laws still like exist and LSU is going to get screwed over it. And I'm not even saying that as like, oh, we got like, you know, as a victim, because like it sure looks like Will did all that stuff and it was very wrong at the time. And it, you know, all that stuff is retroactive, I know, but it's just like, it is such a different reality right now. And it's just bizarre. And on top of this moment, LSU is a pretty good basketball team and they're playing in the NCAA tournament on Friday night. Like, so, as a six seed, I can't even find myself to get excited for it. Not yet. No. I know I'm going to get excited like Thursday and when the games start, but like, as an LSU basketball fan my entire life, and other fans can relate to me, basketball has been in this in and out relationship of like, there have been these really good teams, but there isn't the consistent program, and it's up and down, and nobody is, LSU has not been a consistent tourney basketball team really until Will Wade was here.
No, it's true.
Honestly, the most consistent success that LSU basketball has found, now, you know, the Final Four, made a couple, like a Sweet 16 run, had some fantastic teams during that time, and it has been super fun being an LSU basketball fan then, but we haven't seen the consistent success. And so now, in a normal year, if you would have told Chris Branch 6 years ago that LSU is a six seed, and has some NBA talent on the team, and they are playing an NCAA tournament, I would be like, where are we posting them at the bar? I am buying LSU basketball gear. Like, I'm all in. And now I'm like, I'm going to watch the game and I'm going to root for them and I'm going to be really happy if they win. But it's just like, there's this pall hanging over all of it. It's so weird.
Well, I want to save like the actual LSU basketball team discussion for a second, because yeah, it's totally worth getting into. It's like this very weird thing where they're probably like a top 25 team that just now is like in the wilderness. But I want to go back to what you were talking about with like, you know, well, it would be legal now and all this stuff. I mean, yeah, I want to preface this with like, I am not exactly in agreement with the certain types in the media who are painting it as like this evil guy, you know, like, okay, guys, I think Zach Rao, our friend of the show and like, you know, tailgate extraordinaire, put it well. He was like, man, there's a lot that's happened in LSU sports the last 5 years that have really disillusioned me with LSU sports and make me want to distance myself from it a lot. And he's like, paying players isn't high on that list. So again, like, I don't have like some unbelievable moral issue with this, but I think I'd go back to, and again, this is not a one-to-one comp, so don't like hold this against me, but as someone who went to Indiana and went through the Kelvin Sampson thing, I think there's some there's a parallel to draw there in that Kelvin Sampson was technically, you know, put Indiana in major sanctions and got a show cause for things that are, oh my, it was like texting recruits. It was stuff that like literally a year later was completely fine. And it was all marginal stuff. But again, guys, Kelvin Sampson was really punished for having years and years of being known as a guy who was breaking rules and doing things and misleading and lying and, you know, kind of being a guy who was known for cheating for a very long time. And that's what he got caught for and all that. I think that comp kind of works in some ways, because no matter your ethical stance on paying players, guys, like, still, Will Wade, it's about the way Will Wade, and this is not my opinion, it's just the NCAA, it's about the way he just, as brazenly as I've ever seen somebody in college sports, just is like, just shamelessly, just breaking every rule, almost publicly doing it, boastingly doing it, just putting it out there doing it, and kind of, and again, like, I hate even saying like, because who cares about this part, but like, almost like breaking the unspoken rules, and this part's BS, but I'm like breaking the unspoken rules of like how to like handle the bigger guys in the sport. Does that make any sense? Like your Calipari's and stuff like that. And like, he just went for it and then just absolutely misled the NCAA at every chance he can and lied to them and made it as difficult as he could. That is a large part of why LSU's in the way it is. And also, I think there's a little bit of the comp of the like, hey man, I, you know, like the people who are like, weed should be legal, but you know, but like, so why can I not smoke and be high at work? And it's like, you know, and I think that there's some similarities there of the thing of, yeah, just because it's legal does not mean an employer wants to hire someone who, you know, is getting high often, you know, like I think there's a little bit of a similarity there of just because it is legal now does not mean that what he was doing is still not completely, you know, breaking every rule on earth. And so that is where LSU is in the place it is. Will Wade is one of the more egregious kind of cheaters, sloppy with how he handled it, so many things. So that's really where they are at this point. And obviously, let's just to touch on it, I mean, LSU is looking at a tough situation. I had some people, some sources say that they are fully preparing for the reality of a 3-year postseason ban, which is pretty darn rare. Multi-year right. bans at all are pretty rare. They're looking at severe scholarship reductions. Like, they are about to get hit. And that is also a large reason why they had to do what they did. So, anyway, that was just kind of a side thing I wanted to go on of, like, as much as people are like, it's all legal now, it's still, it's not really what it's about.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, yes and no. See, that is the strange thing, is that we're going to look back and think that this being illegal was all very stupid because of, you know, not to get into a diatribe about the NCAA and paying college athletes, but, like, it is this archaic structure that doesn't allow for this. And I think that, honestly, the way he did it, and, you know, you've been around LSU long enough, it earned Will Wade a lot of points at LSU. With LSU, the fan base, he was like, I'm fighting to get the great players here. I'm going to do whatever I have to do and screw these dumb rules. Now, I would have appreciated if he would have done it a little more furtively. You know, I think that it is a basic understanding that before the NIL came out, that this was not an uncommon practice among top tier basketball programs, what Will Wade was doing. But they probably do it better and a little more cautiously, and they don't lie to the NCAA right to its face and just be obtuse. But I don't know, like the dude cared about having good basketball at LSU, and if his big crime was paying basketball players, I don't think anybody in this community was going to be really upset about that. So it's
this
weird
way
where you were.
Like, I don't have some moral issue with some of this stuff.
No, I know, but it's like what you said makes sense, and it is probably going to be one of the last, like, big NCAA infractions on paying basketball players. If I had to guess, like, I mean, with the reality going forward, and, like, so it's going to be this thing of the past. But it's interesting that, like, I think his brazenness probably earn him some emotional points with the LSU fan base, while delivering.
Oh, it made
basketball
LSU against
teams
the
every
world.
Year.
They loved it. Yeah,
I know. But that, like, now that everything is out there, this was always going to be the end, right? This was always going to how it was going to end.
Yeah, maybe unless not the NCAA timing. Botched it. Like, they have many things, you know. The NCAA has botched many things. So I'm not even going to sit here and say LSU's bet was entirely wrong. But yeah, that was the only other way. But yeah, this was always going to end pretty badly.
So we don't have to linger anymore on that. I appreciate Will Wade for his effort and his enthusiasm, and he brought a consistency to LSU basketball that, like I said, that we haven't had. So it was really cool to expect LSU basketball to be in the tournament every year. Now they are in the tournament on Friday with an interim coach. I have no idea what to expect. I will be thrilled if they win one game. Be thrilled. I will not. Anything past one game is lanyap to me, and I hope those guys. I can't even imagine what the players are going through right now. Like, their headspace at all. If they're, you know, rallying for Will, or they're just kind of checked out. I would understand both. So, yeah. We'll see. Honestly, and anything good coming out of that is lanyap. I do want to talk, Brody, about, like, how do you envision Scott Woodward handling hiring a coach? And, like you said, some people have told you that a 3-year postseason ban is possible, which is crazy, but it's possible. So How do you even hire a coach in these circumstances?
Yeah, and I think this is probably the right time to talk about our favorite thing that we spent like a month on during the football search, which is the Scott Woodward myth-making that has happened the past like few years.
Yeah.
And again, like it is possible for me both to acknowledge. I think Scott Woodward's a very good athletic director and one of the better ones in the country. And also, like, the myth-making involved is kind of cringeworthy. You know, can we go back? I'm going to try to find the Norlander tweet. But, like, I think there's an element of everybody just thinking, like, this guy's a master. He's ready for this. He's going to have – and people tweeting about Scott Drew and all these people they're going to go get. And it's like, first off, guys, LSU has been – LSU is about to get hit. You are not getting Scott Woodward has proved me wrong many times. I could be unbelievably wrong here. But LSU is probably not getting a major sitting coach at a big job. LSU just probably fell down the list of toughest jobs in the Power Five with what the rebuild's about to happen here in a little bit. So I start with that. Second, you know, I think he's been prepared for this for a while. Again, like, I think he's very patiently sat back, right? He hasn't really said anything either way. I think he has been preparing for the possibility of firing Will Wade for 3 full years. I do believe that. I do believe he's talked to people and all these things. That also doesn't mean that the whole time he expected it to be a 3-year, like, and again, that's speculating, but I don't think he expected to be as bad as it's going to be either. So, you know, I don't know if the people he's been maybe monitoring is exactly the same as what the job is right now. I think he has to, and again, this is the key thing you and I both wanted to get across, is even if you are building the Scott Woodward myth thing, right, of like hiring Kelly, Mulkey, Jay Johnson, Jimbo, Chris Peterson, all that stuff, even if you are in on that, this isn't the same thing. Like, yeah, LSU basketball was completely stable and as is and like its normal self. Yeah, I think Scott Woodward would probably make a pretty splashy hire. I think he's capable of that. I think he's proven that. But right now, it's different. So I think you have to be realistic that it's going to take more of a mid-major young guy. Maybe not even inherently young, but a mid-major coach who normally wouldn't quite get the LSU job, but is willing to really build something, take the time, take the lumps, almost waste 2 to 3 years of his career, you know, building, you know, going through sanctions and trying to come out of it in a better place. That is kind of how you have to look through that. The counter to that is you could go a little bit more the Ole Miss football route, for lack of a better term, where like the you hire Matt Luke, and I think that was always kind of by people really on the nose seen as like a placeholder. And the second they were done with sanctions, then they got rid of him for Lane Kiffin. That is the alternative. I mean, maybe that even leads to Kevin Nickelberry getting the job. I don't know. But I just think people have to kind of reframe their expectations. And the who we can get into in a second, you know, like, but I think the comp I'd use, and I keep using Indiana, but it's a decent comp because it's one of the last schools to really get hit hard about 15 years ago, is, you know, I do not think Tom Crean at Marquette at that exact time would have been an obvious Indiana level hire in 2007, 2008. But because of the situation and what Crean was good at, he was able to get that job, do like a 5-year rebuild, and then get that team up to a 1 seed. Now, IU and LSU aren't the same tier of basketball job, but just think in that kind of context. I think that's helpful.
I bet Tom Crean would take the job.
Tom Crean would totally take the job, yes.
I just think the last thing I'll say before we get into names is that I think no matter who we hire, us LSU fans have to support the person. We have to be happy. Like, I have no, I don't think you could give me a name where I would be like, oh, nah. I'd be like, thank you for coming here. Please, like, can I show you the restaurants in town? Can I buy you a beer? Like, thank you for being here. I know this person will be well paid, and they're going to need a lot of security with sanctions coming down the road. But still, it is going to be, whoever takes this job is going to be undertaking a monumental effort. And we will be grateful. You know, I think your Indiana mention is a good starting point for us with names.
Yeah.
Because the Athletic's Brian Hamilton wrote a story kind of going over candidates. And one that interested me was Archie Miller, the former Indiana head coach, who's still very young. He's 43 years old. He's not employed right now. Indiana boy, what are your thoughts on Archie Miller?
Oh, man. I have to scale back now, back to fan/reporter mode. Yeah, I think in a lot of ways it would make so much sense. Like, I want to preface that. Like, Archie Miller, when he got the IU job in 17, was as close – like, I really can't get this through enough – as close as you could possibly be to, like, sure thing rising star in basketball. Like,
Sean Miller's brother, took Dayton not just to an Elite Eight, but also had like multiple tournament teams. You know, like he was the guy. He was 38. And, you know, so it's worth remembering that, right? Put all the factors in, that not just what he is the last 4 years is what he'll always be, but it was a disaster at Indiana. I think as some colleagues of mine who cover IU well, they called Archie Miller's 4 years ass ball, which is so accurate is the best part. It was just they called it ass ball because it was just unbearable to watch basketball. Like, his teams had really solid defenses most of the times, but it was just like miserable. Not even just like the Tony Bennett way where it's like beautiful defense. It's like just no offense, no shooting, no like cohesive ability to run a scheme. Like, it was ugly. And, you know, they would have made the tournament in 2020, in fairness to him. They would have. They looked like they were going to before the pandemic happened. But still, one tournament possibly in 4 years in Indiana, which is really tough to wrap your head around. He even brought in some two or three five stars. Neither really worked out. And just, it was a rough run. But at the same time, it's like he's 43. He's still a very bright coach. And it's like, you shouldn't rule him out. So in a lot of ways, I love that move. But it's just, and maybe he'll do better at a place where you're not in the limelight as much as IU. But it didn't go great. So it's a really tricky one. But I see a lot of positives to it. Is that fair?
I mean, yes. I think on paper, it sounds great. I mean, he has experience in failing at a big job. He was that up-and-coming mid-major coach. He's 43 years old. He's available. There's no buyout. There's nothing. Like, maybe he's learned something. Who knows? But then you brought up ass ball, and then now I'm kind of out. I don't want that kind of basketball.
I hope it happens just so we can share ass ball.
I think the other person I want to touch on, you know, there's basically, there are so many people that are going to be available, and I'm very curious to see where Scott goes. But Kevin Nickelberry, LSU's interim head coach, has been a head coach before.
Mm-hmm.
Hampton and Howard. He has experience being the head man on the bench. He knows this program pretty well. He's here. He is coaching on Friday. I'm interested to see how he does. Could be a great option. I mean, depending on how the guys respond to him, I don't know much about him outside of that he has been a head coach and he's been an assistant at LSU. I don't know what his recruiting standards would be like. But if we're in a tournament ban and we want continuity and not just everything starting over from scratch, might not be a bad option. I don't know. What do you know about Nickelberry?
Yeah, I think it's tough because if you remove the fact that he's currently an LSU assistant, there's almost no world where he'd even be like a reasonable candidate. You know, like, he was not 12 years of just not being a successful head coach, quite frankly, you know, and not even just like, not even relative to where he was, you know. So it's tough to wrap your head around it, but it would fall in the Matt Luke category, right? And again, not one-to-one, but like, I would understand it. Yeah, he's a guy who I think probably has program support, probably players like him. You know, he had kind of his, I'm pretty sure his first job on staff was kind of to be more of like the, I forget the term, the, like the player development guy kind of thing, you know, and all that. So like, that's usually a lot of working with players off the field, off the court. So I get it. And I think if it comes down to it, there could be so many worse things they could do because, yeah, I think there would, you know, back to your thing of like, hey, whoever it is, you're going to be grateful and you're going to rally around him. I think there'd be that, it's kind of corny, like rally aroundism with Kevin Nickelberry, almost in like, you know, just like interims have that effect. They just do. There's a history of that, you know, and shoot, what he does in the tournament will also tell us a lot. I'm actually kind of, I'm still weirdly high on LSU making like a Sweet 16. I really am. But so I get it. It just wouldn't be, you know, the first pick and probably would be in some ways the last pick, but I get the rationale, you know, because there also are some guys like a Dennis Gates, who was a big candidate for the the Georgia job before Mike White took that. I think he's a kind of up and comer. He's a guy who knows the South well. You know, he was one of Leonard Hamilton's like top guys at Florida State for 8 years, and that's one of the more impressive programs, just the way they do things there. Got Cleveland State to a tournament last year. I think that's an interesting one, even if it's not maybe the best one. Grant McCasland at North Texas. You know, he's a guy who's gotten North Texas to the tournament 3 years in a row. Those might be the right like frame of guys to look at in some ways. Greg McDermott, another guy who's on Brian's list, just interesting because he is a guy who for a very long time has proven he's a solid coach. Like, he has done this for a while now, both at Creighton and why am I blanking on his other stop? But he's been successful for a while. So I wonder if he wants to prove he can do it in the Power Five and kind of do this. And I don't think that's a bad idea. The one that if LSU can get that's on Brian's list, that's like, holy crap, that's a home run in my opinion, is Wes Miller at Cincinnati. Wes Miller is, I think, going to be like one of the top coaches of basketball. I wouldn't be surprised if he's North Carolina's coach in 2 or 3 years if Hubert Davis doesn't work out. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, spent 10 – he's only – yeah, he's 39. Jeez. And in 10 years at UNC Greensboro, just built, a really good program. Made two different tournament teams in the last 4 years and like won 20-plus games every year. I love Wes Miller. And now in his first year at Cincinnati, you know, up and down – but like some really impressive moments. He won some big games at Cincinnati year one. I'm a big Wes Miller guy, really young. So if there's even a world where he would come, and again, I don't know if he would. His stock is going up. And by the way,
yeah,
basketball's different than football, right? You could I think there is a completely real argument Cincinnati basketball is a better job than LSU basketball, like even before the sanctions. Like, you know, they're just different things. Like, I'm not putting that on the record, but it's a good job. Like, it's a really good job.
Well,
so,
and Cincinnati is coming to the Big 12.
Yeah, great point.
They're going to be a Power 5 team. So it doesn't – you're right. I would consider that kind of a lateral move.
Yeah, exactly. So – but if LSU could get him, I think LSU fans should be celebrating. Because, yeah, I also think he'd know how to build something here. So, yeah, I think that's kind of – I know you asked me more about, you know, other guys, but I think that's kind of the most interesting thing here is you have to frame it through that. And Buzz Williams is going to be mentioned just because Jim, you know, obviously Scott Woodward hired him at Texas A&M, which, again, people always talk about. Sorry, I've been talking for a while here, but I know people always talk about like all of his other big hires and Buzz tends to be last. But in terms of context, him getting Buzz to leave Virginia Tech for A&M was like a huge get. Like, that is a Buzz Williams right. is a really great coach. Everywhere he's been, he took he won really well at Marquette, really well. He got Virginia Tech from like the 300s in KenPom to like number 13 last year in 5 years there. In A&M, or 3 years ago. At A&M, they went from like the 200s to their like number 30 something now in year three. Like, he is building things everywhere he's been. I mean, if he'd be perfect, but again, he's a $16 million buyout that, as you mentioned to me pre-show, Scott Woodward obviously negotiated. So I just don't think that's happening. Plus, Buzz Williams is too established of a coach to want to go through a rebuild like that.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Right, exactly. I mean, and he's a likable guy too, so I'm not considering him. I think the thing that, you know, the interesting game that we could play with ourselves here is that all of these guys on this list and anybody that is a rising star in the coaching community, there is plenty of reason for them not to come to LSU because they will assuredly have interest at other stops that can go to the NCAA tournament next year and the year after that if they succeed. So why would they take LSU? So maybe that that Scott Woodward mythical part comes with which promising mid-major coach he decides to come hang out for 5 years in Baton Rouge to build a winner rather than with tough times, rather than go to somewhere like, let's say, Kansas State, any other Power Five jobs that's open.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
That is going to be the big swing rather than like, oh, I'm going to go steal, ex-head coach at basketball powerhouse or something like that. Like, that's not going to happen. But the if it is an up-and-comer that has a promising future and chooses to be at LSU and get through these sanctions, that are coming, whatever they are, I think that is, you know, the same caliber of big pull for basketball than, you know, getting Brian Kelly to leave Notre Dame to come to LSU would be for football. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's relatively fair. Yeah. I mean, I think it's completely fair. So, yeah, I think it's just a – I don't know where I was going with that, actually. That happens to me at least once a show where I start talking and I have literally no idea where I'm going. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We're all here for you. I'm just saying that this is going to be one of the more fascinating Scott Woodward hires, like, in the details, because it is a much different recruiting job than he had for any other program here. Football speaks for itself. Women's basketball clearly was ready to be great immediately, and he went and got the best coach in women's college basketball, and all of a sudden they're a 3 seed when they were not great last year. So I know that Kim brought some players, some coaches, but still, it's incredible the turnaround that she did in year one. Clearly, that was a program ready to go.
I don't know if that even was a program ready to go. I think Kim Mulkey is just a wizard.
I think she is too. Yeah. So, and baseball, I mean, they're having some struggles this year, but they're hitting the hell out the baseball.
But yeah, I think they're on the right path. By the way, I think baseball's the better, and don't hold these things against me, but it's almost a better prism for looking at what Woodward's going to have to do here. And what I mean by that is Jay Johnson was not the first, second, or third option. He was not. And I think that is going to be at least helpful, if that makes sense, in just kind of like how Woodward handles things like this. And by the way, Brian Kelly was the third option. Like, again, we have to remember some of these things. But just in terms of, like, yeah, Scott Woodward looked at bigger names for baseball, but when things all sorted out, he also found a guy who knew how to build really well in Jay Johnson. He knew that, like, that was what he wanted. And I think basketball might be a little very different, but similar, just in terms of showing, like, Woodward does know how to pivot, I guess, for lack of a better term, and knows how to find a guy who actually fits what LSU needs. Johnson's young and will build and is going to recruit in a way LSU hasn't really tried to recruit in recent years in terms of, like, how they do it. And I think basketball, maybe he has to find someone in that mold again. Also, I got to really rip on the people. Just, I got to say this again. There are people who are like, I've seen multiple people, like, checkmarked accounts, blue check accounts, saying, like, Kelvin Sampson to LSU? God, people. Or Scott Drew? I'm like, guys, first off, I can't tell what's worse. The thinking that LSU, with everything they're about to get hit with, is going to be able to steal someone away from one of the best jobs in the country, who has one of the best teams in the country? Or two, if it's worse, that they think that LSU, who just got in trouble for all this cheating, is going to hire, like, some of the more notorious cheaters. Like, I guess Scott Woodward is not exactly known for his subtlety, so maybe. But, like, I'm just blown away. I just have to go on these rants sometimes. It's like, people, research.
If they hired Kelvin Sampson, the minute he gets hired, we have to hit record.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, I have like 4 people I'd call on as guests immediately. Yeah, we'd have a whole month's worth of contact. Oh my goodness. By the way, Kelvin Sampson's one of the best coaches in the world. Kelvin Sampson's brilliant.
Clearly, like, he is an incredible coach. But
like the great sports what if is that if he didn't get fired for things that are now legal, like, what would IU basketball be? Because he got him top 25 his first year. But
I feel like he's like the final boss and on the Will Wade video game. But like Will Wade was like the second tier boss, and Kelvin Sampson is like souped up Will Wade.
Yeah, if they hire Kelvin Sampson, I think the NCAA just like builds an office.
Yeah, I think they, you know, whatever vacant office spaces in Baton Rouge from people going remote, the NCAA will take all of it.
Yes.
So anyway, it's going to be fascinating, and you know, I have a feeling that this is not going to be a quick hire. Not many of the hires have been quick, which I appreciate. It's going to be thorough. I guess we'll probably have to wait at least till after the tournament, if not longer. I'm just fascinated to see it. I mean, it is very interesting that, you know, I feel like we're making this a Scott Woodward podcast, but after this athletic department will be very much made in Scott Woodward's image.
God, I know, right? It will. So yeah, just for those who aren't like completely following everything, I'll just restate it for everyone. He has now already replaced the LSU baseball coach, LSU football, LSU women's basketball, I believe volleyball as well, I believe soccer as well. Not exactly the same, but you know, D.D. Bro did retire, so he promoted Jay Clark in gymnastics. Yep. He's basically, obviously there's a few outliers, like, you know, Beth Reed at softball, a few others, but he is completely now remaking this in his image. You are absolutely right. And each one has been completely different in so many ways. But, you know, and, you know, it's like, in some ways, this is good for LSU. I don't know how do I put this. Like, LSU, I think, when Scott Woodward took over, was in a very unstable place when the Joe Oliva era was ending. Is that fair? Like, not even in terms, like, Ed Ogeron was obviously got them to great heights, but even in the moment, like, even when Oliva was fired, and that was after 18, everything with Ogeron felt volatile. And Will Wade was under the biggest microscope in the world when Woodward was hired, and women's basketball was absolute, you know, dweller, like cellar dweller. And, you know, baseball was obviously stable, but wasn't where they wanted to be. And I think, you know, in the Woodward era, at least, they are on a mission a little bit to just rebuild the entire LSU athletic culture. And that's not me saying like they're going to be Boy Scouts now, because God knows I don't think they are. But I do think there's a little bit of like the Kelly hire was to rebuild the culture there and get a culture of things that are just more stable and they know what they're doing and there's communication and everything's under control. And Kim Mulkey's obviously its own thing, but that is completely changing the culture. And I think Jay Johnson's changing kind of how they do things at baseball. And now Will Wade's the biggest example, arguably, of trying to, you know, maybe rebuild the culture in basketball a little bit now with after him. So yeah, like, this might all end up being LSU sports might be in a really great place after this hire, you know, depending on how it goes. But it's a really, really tough one for Scott Woodward.
You say unstable. I say interesting.
All both accurate. Oh, no doubt about it. God.
All right. I think we have hit our allotment of basketball. You know, we will be watching the game on Friday. This is the best sports week of the year to me. So I'm still excited. I know I'm going to get hyped for Friday. Spring practice starts in 9 days, Brody. What are we looking for that we haven't covered already? Is there any new questions arisen? What are you excited to see at the start of spring practice?
You know, I think one of the main things we're going to ask, I think Kelly has a press conference, I think the Tuesday before it gets rolling, I want to say, or maybe the Tuesday it does get rolling. But I want to ask about John Emery. I've heard positive things that it's trending the right way and that it looks good. And I'm honestly hoping to have a story up this week on him talking. But I think that's a big one, is just, you know, we haven't gotten any real like public confirmation of anything with John Emery. And I think there's still a chance he has more like punishment, you know, like that he won't be like ineligible all year, but he might get penalized a little bit, maybe miss some games. I don't know. So I think that's one thing I'm really just curious of following. And I think that the other one is just, I really want to see kind of, I don't know, I want to see what happens to that running back room as a whole. And I'm so fascinated to see what tight end just looks like. You know, like, do they pivot away from it? Do some of these guys step up? I don't know. What about you?
I mean, it's still Jaden Daniels and what the quarterback room looks like at the end.
I try to always pick the non-obvious one, but yes, that is number one. Yeah.
I mean, that's the one. So, like, I am fascinated about the running back room. I have stayed on John Emery Island for a long time. Oh, yeah. And I feel like I've bought property and, you know, my value has gone down, but I'm not selling.
I'm not.
So I'm ready. I'm ready to see the John Emery I was promised 4 years ago with a grainy practice footage clip of him, you know, breaking through a really good LSU defense. And I was sold then. So
as a fellow beat reporter or former beat reporter, you probably relate to this. I guarantee you have someone just like this, but I think every beat reporter has like the guy they've wasted, sounds harsh, but like, put too much ink on over several years because you just keep assuming it's going to happen. And that is, I've written more words about John Emery. Probably, I would say it's arguable, I've probably written five times as many stories on John Emery as anyone else. And just because, like, one, you know, just sometimes things work out that way, right? You find some angles, you know, the family, stuff like that. But like, just I keep like being like, this is the year of John Emery, or here's what's going on with his academic situation, or shoot, here's what happened with his family during the pandemic, all these things. I keep writing about him. So I am also with you on John Emery Island. I refuse to sell my stock because I really do believe he is going to break out if he gets the chance. So we're together on that, man.
I'm ready. Not committed. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested just to see when, like, you know, under Brian Kelly, we haven't had any like regular football activity. So I'm just interested to see what the vibe's like, what the, you know, when he's talking, you know, it's just going to be a different feel. I'm excited for it. And yeah, that's all I got. So Anything you want to plug, Brody? You wrote a lot about the notice of allegations this week. Anything coming down the pike otherwise?
Yeah, no, there's some things. I mean, like I said, hopefully I'm going to have something on John Emery sooner than later. I think there's hopes for a Jaden Daniels feature sooner than later. But
okay.
And also, there will be a women's basketball story coming out of this weekend in some capacity. So on Kim Mulkey and what she's built there. So yeah, no, we got some good stuff coming for you guys. And also, make sure you read The Pulse every day. Make sure you sign up. It's on your app. Sign up for The Pulse newsletter. It's the best part of your morning.
Written by yours truly. Well, give us 5 stars wherever you rate this, wherever you listen. And we'll be back with you next week. Go Tigers, right, Brody? No, you can't say that.
No comment.
Bye, y'all.